The views expressed and the opinions given by the individual host and their guests do not necessarily reflect those of Para-X, its affiliates, or its sponsors.
The Gathering. The supernatural world can be a dark, intimidating, and scary place. We gather to shine light on the mysterious and misunderstood aspects of the paranormal world. We bring to the table years of experience as mediums, healing channels, and paranormal investigators.
We share true stories from our experiences to dispel fear where we can and help you discover the amazing layers that make up the paranormal world. You are invited to gather around the metaphysical table with us and discuss the worlds of the unseen on The Gathering Radio Show.
Good evening, everybody. Welcome to The Gathering here on the Para-X Network. And this is Heidi.
And this is Stephanie. Welcome on to another Tuesday.
Yeah, and I can't talk. Apparently, I'm going to trip over my tongue tonight, so this will be a good show.
That's
fantastic.
Good. That's good. At least it's not me for a change.
goodness.
Oh, my goodness. Well, we have, what's shaking, Heidi? You know, the weather is just spectacular up here. Yesterday and today, I got to say, it's like 70s, no humidity. This is what summer should be.
I am loving it.
Can I just say it?
Mm-hmm. Hey, you know what? I want to say congratulations. I went to the Anoka State Fair and saw your photos.
Did you?
And the one that you got the, yep. And I was going to post it, and I totally forgot to post my little adventure over there. But I saw your photo that won the award, so congratulations.
Isn't that crazy? And that was the one that I wasn't even going to enter, right?
Because really? It's really nice.
You know, I wasn't, you know, Ghost Dance is the one that got me to do this, you know, right? And so I sent him a batch of pictures, and I said, okay, which ones should I do? And he said, all of them. And I said, really? The beach picture too? And he said, yes. And that's the one that got the prize. I can't believe it.
Good job. That's awesome.
But it was very fun. I got to say, you know, there were so many good pictures there. And I'm not understanding why some of those pictures didn't get first prize. Not mine. But I mean, other pictures that were phenomenal and they got nothing. I'm not sure how these judges were judging, but I mean, my goodness, there was a lot of talent there, you know? So I just feel really, really cool. I mean, it's very, very flattering for me that I got a ribbon at all because there was so much good talent there.
Yeah, it was neat. So congratulations. I just wanted to give you the shout out.
And did you notice where it was? Did you recognize it? Because you've been there.
Did I recognize what?
Where the beach was.
Oh, yeah. Because I've been there. Too.
Yeah.
No, I knew it. Yeah. It looked awesome. The photo was awesome. So, good job.
Yeah. So anyway, that was fun.
So, I have something to talk about quick before we get to our show tonight. And I don't know, you might have seen the post that I put out there of an extraction that I did. It was Thursday, I think it was. Did you see that I put out there?
I did.
And I think it's so interesting. And this kind of, I posted it on Facebook that I did this extraction. Tim and I did this extraction last week with a guy that he's had interaction with spirit for many years. You know, he's sensitive. His mom's sensitive. It kind of runs in the family. And then he started doing meditation. Oh, how long ago? A month, maybe. Mm-hmm. And he... a month ago. And so he wanted to start meditating. So he found some YouTube meditations, right? Just music. One was a guided meditation.
Yeah.
And ended up getting, well, through this meditation, and this one happened quite quickly, that he was basically in the process of a possession. So something, I don't know what video, and I should start tracking down some of these videos. Not that you can do anything about it, but one of the videos that he was listening to, there was something actually either taking advantage of his open channel that he was opening to do this meditation, or I've actually had a couple of videos that have channeled negative entities just straight out. Now, whether the person that created them did it intentionally or unintentionally is that it goes both ways, because some actually do it with intention and some don't. But this was really scary. I mean, this was really scary. It was getting to the point, I mean, and this is not the first time this has happened, where they want to do harm to other people. Not they want to, but this being wants them to do this. And it gets to the point where they're compelled. Like, you can't, you don't have any control over yourself anymore. And this isn't where he was at, so we were able to take care of it. And we actually had the second follow-up session today. But what was interesting, when I had my hands on his head and his neck, you could feel it moving under his, like, in his muscles. Yeah, it was disturbing. And but it had started at the top of his head, and it had worked its way down to about mid-chest. Mm-hmm. And that's as far as it got. So he was definitely in the process. I won't even know, say it may be oppression at this point, because he still is able to go around and function in society. But yeah, really dangerous stuff. And so it started a whole conversation about protections, even doing something simple like meditation. I think you can't be too safe. So,
and who knew that if you just listen to a meditation, I mean, I've never done that, but I know a lot of people do that, right? That would happen. I mean, I know that, you know, and a lot of people don't realize you do have to use protections. Absolutely. I mean, you know, you've, you know, battered that into my head over these years. So I know that, but a lot of people don't know that. So I guess maybe our mission for our radio show is to keep pounding that into people's heads. If you're going to do something like that, you really have to use protection, because wow, that's
even
crazy.
If it's just a prayer or something at the beginning, just to set some kind of intention,
save, you know, protect me from, you know, the evil, whatever. So
yeah, I mean, it's just, and it's like using a Ouija board, right?
Yeah,
not that everybody's out there using a Ouija board, but you could use a Ouija board. As I start talking about the Ouija board, my light in my room starts flickering.
I know.
But it's, as you know, you could use a Ouija board 1,000 times and nothing happens, but you can also use it once and you might have something happen that you don't know how to handle. So it's one of those things that's better to be safe than sorry, I think, and just do protections. But yeah, this was bad. This was a quick one. Some of them that I've worked on, and I get a couple a year that come through from this way, where they come through the internet like that. But I get a couple a year, and this one worked really quickly. Most of them tend to take months or years because these entities have the time, you know. Yeah. So anyway, I just wanted to mention that's been something
maybe
I worked
we
on this
should
last
have,
week.
Should maybe, you know, we should think about having a show maybe on that stuff. And maybe we can just do a little, you know, give little hints to people on how they can protect themselves from that. Because, you know, Kristen talks about this a lot too. You and Kristen both get a lot of people that have these things going on. So maybe we need to have her on as our third wheel.
Anyway, yeah. So something I wanted to just put out there. So that was my week in a nutshell. And Steph, I think her computer froze. Hopefully it's not frozen permanently. Anyway, so that's where I was this week, just doing a little bit of, I don't know, extraction work. We'll call it that. So anyway, I think Stephanie disappeared. And so instead of me just talking, why don't I pull our guest in? And let me just see. Hang on one second. I think if I can get Steph to show up here. No, I think she's disappeared. And it's funny. Her computer has been going, anyway, bonkers for like a month and a half. So I apologize to everybody out there. But I am going to go ahead and talk with Tommy Cooper of Cryptovania TV. He is with us as our guest tonight. How you doing tonight, Tommy?
I'm great. Thanks for having me, Heidi. It's great to see you again.
Yes, absolutely. Now we're trading roles here, because we were on your show a couple months ago, maybe not even that long.
Yeah, you were.
So we're doing a little role reversal today. And anyway, so I would love to. So we heard about you guys, I think this was a few months ago, from one of, I think Stephanie might be back. Stephanie, are you there?
Yeah, Skype booted me out totally. I don't know.
So I was just going to tell the story about how you heard about Cryptovania.
Yeah, so Jason Trost, you know, Tommy, you can talk about him, but he contacted me, actually, Squashers, and said, oh, we love your stuff. You know, you guys have been looking at all of our, we have a research area close by that we go and there's a lot of tree structures and a lot of crazy things going on up there. And we want to put your videos on our channel. And I'm like, okay, well, who are you, first of all? But I talked to the team, you know, and I looked at your stuff. And we all said, yeah, let's do this. So, and then we got to know you. And then you had us on Two Beers at Ray's, which was fun. So we were interviewed for that. That video is still out there on Cryptovania TV. So, yeah, so we have our own, like, our own channel on Cryptovania TV. Am I right, Tommy?
That is absolutely correct. You have your own section.
Yeah. And
it's very popular.
It's cool. And you know what's even cooler is that somehow, this is a Roku, I'm probably pronouncing it wrong, channel thing, but Ghost Dance here in Minneapolis actually called me one night, and he said, Steph, do you recognize this voice? And he holds out his phone, and I said, no, why? And he said, it's you. I said, it's me. You're on Comcast on this Cryptovania TV. And I'm like, what? So I don't know how it got on there, but how funny is that?
I think we were more excited than you were when we heard that. You had said that it was through our channel, and we're like, that's great. Somebody's stealing our channel and putting it out on Comcast. We couldn't be happier.
Isn't that funny?
Oh, gosh, it's hysterical. It's hysterical. So, you know, honestly, it's been so fun for us, Tommy, to be out there because people, you know, I mean, it's pretty cool to be out to have our own channel on this TV. You know, and how long has Cryptovania TV been out there?
A year and a half we've been going for.
Yeah. So, and there we are, you know, the cool ladies of Squatchers.
Sure. You know, 2 weeks ago, we had 6 viewers in Kazakhstan. So imagine that. Squatchers are in Kazakhstan also.
Well, you know what? Cool. We have troops actually that listen to our radio show that are over in the Middle East. So I don't know if that's who they are. But, you know, it's fun because they listen to our show. So, which, by the way, if any of you guys are listening, thank you. It's fun to have you. Thanks for your service.
Thank you for your service.
But yeah, that's cool. That is really cool. Oh, that is so cool. I'm blushing. I'm being silly. Look at Heidi's just laughing.
Well, we're certainly happy to have you all on our channel. You're one of the first groups that we encountered that really brought a lot of color and flair in the feminine perspective and all that sort of thing brought into this world that a lot of people maybe don't associate with female researchers and such.
Yeah. Well,
you have to represent.
Exactly. Cause we're a little bit different, I think, than most researchers too, because we are kind of crazy and we are different and we go out there and we do probably unethical things when we're out there because we laugh and we talk and we sing and we do all kinds of stuff when we're out in the woods. And I'm not sure that a lot of people do that, you know, but we're just a lot of researchers, you know, they go out there and they say they like to be stealthy and quiet, and we're not quiet by any way, stretch or form.
How often you fall, Steph? I don't think that's possible. I mean, it's like every time we're out, Stephanie has to hit the ground. I'm just so glad you haven't gotten hurt while we've been out. I know you've fallen and hurt yourself in other times, but
I know.
Yeah. Actually, no, we do our thing. So
And we do it a little bit different than anybody else, but that's what's cool. But we're always out in the woods, which is fun. Now, like I told you, we're kind of on a little hiatus here in Minnesota because the bugs are so horrific that we don't want to be carried away, but we'll be back out there soon. I know I was just talking to Cindy on our team today, and we both said we got to get out to the research area, even if it's just for a half an hour. So you never know. Maybe in the next week or two, we'll just take the camera and we'll go out there and see what we see that's different. Because I'm missing those woods.
you're always welcome to live stream it into Cryptovania Facebook. We'd love to have it.
That'd be fun. Yeah. For sure.
I've lived out in that.
For sure. Well, so tell us a little bit about Cryptovania TV and how'd you guys all get together to make this TV streaming channel?
Well, there are 6 of us that are the core members of Cryptovania. There's myself, Nick Marvin, Jason Trost, Tom Keys, Jay Witowski, and Iron Treffler. And it wasn't that hard for us to do because four of us work at the same place, which is my garage. So we're around each other all day long at work, and then we're around each other all night long doing our Bigfoot crypto stuff. So we actually had the good fortune of making friends with a independent film channel also on Roku called Maddie GTV. I ended up becoming a location scout for them because I know so many people around the area, and I was able to provide sceneries for them and such. And once I was around these folks and saw what they were doing, and I had the opportunity to rub elbows with a lot of people that are well-known or semi-well-known actors or whatever, producers, directors, and everyone, they knew my passion for Sasquatch, and they would say, dude, you need to do a show. You need to do a show. And I thought, man, I don't know. If I do a show, then what am I going to do? Beg somebody to put it on their channel? I mean, I just didn't know what to do. So one day, one of my customers was Jay Witowski, and we had a conversation. He told me that he had done a lot of film work for commercials and things, and a lot of them are very, very well-known commercials, and he just lives down the road from me. And he said, we should get together and talk about this. And we talked about it a few times. And I said, you know what? I said, we will do this. And I said, and we're not worried about where we're going to put it because we're going to start our own Roku channel. And that's really, it was as simple as that. All six of us put our energies together and, you know, a year and a half later, here we are.
That's awesome. That is so cool.
It's a great ride.
So, see, you guys need to come to Minnesota and come out with us. Wouldn't that be fun? We could do a documentary. You guys could bring your cameras. Hey.
I'll leave in the morning.
Huh?
I will leave in the morning.
Wouldn't that be fun?
Let Steph plan your life for you.
Just remember, it's hard to trek through these woods. But see, you're in the woods all the time too, so I know you know how that works. You know.
Do you guys ever do any research, like from canoes or kayaks? Because with all the lakes being so numerous and so connected, is that an angle that you guys have ever pursued?
You know what? This spring, I got to tell you. So this spring, we were supposed to go out in May. We were going out with one of the natives, friends of ours, who's a cryptid researcher on one of the reservations. And we were going to take canoes out and stuff out on the river and look for many different cryptids. There's a lot of reports up in this area. And we were so excited to do that, except that it was like storming and the river was overflowing its banks. So we couldn't do that. So we did go out squatching anyhow. So we got out there in the woods. But that is something that we would love to do, and we haven't done it. And I know they hadn't gotten out there yet either because the rivers are so swollen up here because of all the water earlier in the year. So now I haven't talked to him recently, but I know early July he said that they still hadn't gotten out there. So doesn't mean that you couldn't go on another river, but this particular river had lots of different things, aspects to it that why we wanted to go. I would love to. I would love to. In fact, I keep telling everybody we all need to get a kayak so we can just go get out there and, you know, go on the rivers and the wetlands and stuff. Because right now, you know, in our research area, there's a lot of wetlands there. And to get to the spot that we feel like there's Bigfoot, there's a lot of stuff there. There's paranormal activity there. There's, you know, I think there's Bigfoot and who knows what else over there. But you have to walk the marshland. I mean, if you had a kayak, it sure would be a whole lot simpler than walking, you know, because right now, we're kind of limited to fall and winter, and because summertime, you just really can't do it. It's too full, you know. So that would be, that would be awesome. You know, yeah. I can't wait to get back over there. But yeah, that's an angle, Heidi. Maybe we should all find kayaks to go out there instead of walking through that marsh.
Sure, let's do that. Let's just, I do agree, though, that there's some cryptid activity out there that I think would be interesting, especially if we get into some of the lake monster, you know, lore that's out there. So anyway, but I want to hear, Tommy, I'm going to ask you a question. What is your favorite cryptid to research personally?
Absolutely, Bigfoot, Sasquatch, whatever name you want to use, Grassman, whatever you want to call them. That's the first one that I was ever into. still my favorite. They are not only interesting, but I admire the woodsmanship, the stealth, the survival. I'm into that sort of thing. I've done survival training and tracking training and all that stuff. And if you look at a Sasquatch as a person, that is the ultimate woodsman. And I really admire, and I think that's what really draws me to him so much.
Now, is Bigfoot, if that's your star player there, is that something that you've been interested in for your whole life? I mean, did you have an interaction? How did that start?
Yeah, actually, this is kind of far out, but I think I have some suppressed memories or repressed memories or whatever you call it. I think I have some things that happened to me as a kid, and I believe I had a sighting as a child in the woods. And I think it only came into my consciousness within the last couple of years. But I mean, actually, it was sled riding on a wooded path is where I think my first interaction was. And through life, I believe I've had like up close and personal interactions. I think at least a dozen times. Some of them I didn't recognize as such at the time, but looking back in retrospect, that's honestly what I believe. I have had interactions that were absolutely positively with Bigfoot, but I've had several that were a bit more ambiguous. And as a younger person, I didn't connect the dots. And so I think that's what led me on the path of all the way from being a Boy Scout to a survivalist to a tracker to all that sort of stuff. And you know, really what put me over the edge was in fourth grade. I remember like it was yesterday, you know, rolling into the book fair in fourth grade, and I found a book on Sasquatch and I bought it, and I, you know, pored over it cover to cover. And it was right about the same time I had my first viewing of the Patterson-Gimlin film. And like so many other people, you know, it was on from there.
That's awesome. That's awesome. So you said you've had some absolute interactions.
Absolutely, I have.
So what are those?
Well, the one I probably talk about the most, and I try to wear this one out the heaviest, is the guys at work are tired of hearing about it. But we actually have this one on video. There's an older couple who I'm friends with, and they're customers at our garage. And we have the paraphernalia on the walls and the statue and all that, and everybody knows we're the Bigfoot people. The lady had told me her husband was in a wheelchair, and he was on oxygen and all this sort of stuff, and he just passed away recently. I ended up becoming dear friends with him. But she was a smoker, and at night he would be on oxygen. She'd go in the bathroom and pull the door shut, and, you know, towel the bottom of the door, and she would get by the window and she would smoke out the window. But it was a one-story ranch house. Well, she had a face-to-face encounter, and then more things were happening, and the knocking on the house, and they both saw, you know, the giant creature walk by, and they had so much going on out there. But when things would get hot out there, I had told her, anytime something's going on, give me a call. I said, I don't care if it's 4 o'clock in the morning. It's not that far away. It was, you know, like maybe 4 or 5 miles. I said, I'll be there. We'll be there. Yeah. Well, they got in the habit of actually taking advantage of that, which was great. And every time things would get hot, Nick and I would go out a lot because we're together at night a lot. And we would set up cameras and voice recorders and all this sort of thing. Well, the one night we were out there, we had the cameras set up on the tripods and things, and I said, well, let's just take a quick look around here before we get out of here, and then we'll come back and get the cameras tomorrow. Well, as I'm walking, I'm in the field of the camera. You see me coming across, and I'm carrying two flashlights. You hear something fly and hit the ground. You hear something fly and hit the ground. Then the third time, you hear something fly, and it hits me in the back of the head and knocks me forward 3 steps. And turned out it was a rock. It was a rock.
Oh.
And, you know, we're out there. You know, we're wearing K-bar fighting knives. We've got pistols on, you know. I mean, we're big hillbillies, you know. I mean, there's just no way. And, yeah, so I got beamed, and we got it on video, and it was awesome. And we had a lot of good success in that area. We were there for at least a couple of years. We were out there regularly. And there was paranormal things going on there, which usually we don't delve into much, but other people I know that were in the general vicinity had told me of paranormal things going on there. And also at my garage, it's kind of a hub for sightings. People will come and tell me when something happens because, number one, they know I'm trustworthy with their information, and number two, they know I'm the guy that's into it. And this big country square where we were, I have all these people that told me their firsthand sightings in this square, and none of them know each other, or they don't know that the other ones have had these sightings. And I'm in a position where I can't tell them that, oh, you know, John, your neighbor Jim, he had the same thing happen. So it's really kind of cool and kind of interesting.
Cool. That's cool. Awesome. That's a good story. I would wear that one out too if I were you.
Well, I can't believe you got beaned though. So we've had rocks thrown at us too, but you know what? When we've had it, it was more like, hey, look at me, come find me. It's like calling attention to them because they were thrown up way over the trees, which the trees were pretty tall in this area. Heidi, you know where it is.
Yep.
And they were like lobbed over the trees and then they landed at our feet. But yes. No, none of us were hit in the head or anything. I mean,
thankfully it was a small stone because right. If it would have been a big stone, I wouldn't be here talking to you right now.
Yeah, for sure. You'd at least have been knocked out, but God, yes. That could be scary.
And I recently I had a boulder, I mean like almost a soccer ball size, thrown over my head in a swamp at night. Oh, it's like 11:30 at night, and it landed in the water in front of me. I mean, I'm 6'3", the water splashed taller than me, and I'll be the first one to admit to you, I was scared. I got out of there, and I did go back the next day, but I mean that was pretty terrifying because the message they were sending was well received.
Get out. We don't want you here right now. Yeah.
I was like, okay, I'm out. See ya.
You know, I wonder, do you think, because you said you carry weapons, correct?
Yes.
I wonder if that's the difference or not, or if it's just maybe those Bigfoot versus other Bigfoot. I don't know. I'm just curious.
Yeah. It's a conversation I've had. I've had the opportunity to talk to so many people with diverse opinions and things, and it's been very informative. One of my good friends, Greg Yost in Indiana, he says absolutely, positively, do not ever take weapons into the woods with you. And I respect his opinion. However, I disagree with it. I can respect his opinion and disagree with it.
Mm-hmm.
I myself am never going to know what happens going out without a weapon because I'm always, always going to have a weapon with me. You can call it my security blanket. It doesn't matter to me. I'll always have a weapon with me. That's how I go.
Yeah, no, but I understand both sides.
Yeah, and I think it's cool that there's a lot of people that come at it from another angle.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Mm-hmm. It's just not me.
Yeah. So we have a question in the chat room. Let me get to this before it gets too far back and I lose it. So, Tommy, we had Kat in the chat room asked, because you had mentioned that you have a lot of suppressed memories from... Mm-hmm. growing up and childhood and before you started really like pulling them into your conscious memories or thoughts. So she's asking, why do you think that those memories were repressed?
I don't have an answer from my own experience. I can only say from what I've gathered from studying it a bit, if it's so terrifying, the last defense mechanism of the mind is to bury it in a deep place.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. And I don't know that is what it is, but it sounds logical. What I remember, I never remember feeling like I was going to die or I was going to be killed, but maybe it was just to view something so far outside the normal paradigm of what normal thought is or normal reality is. It just was a paradigm shattering thing and it was repressed for that reason, maybe.
Cool. Yeah, that makes sense. I mean, if it wasn't the actual like what was happening, but just because it happened. I mean, that might be enough if you're not ready to go there, you know?
Yeah.
So yeah, all cool.
Right, thinking.
Thank you.
Well, okay, we're 30 minutes in, so we need to go to commercial break. So everyone stay with us. We will be back in 2 minutes right here on the Para X Radio Network.
Sure, you're wondering why you received this tape from a random stranger.
What was that?
What?
I heard something.
Like what?
Like a gunshot.
But is it really random? Am I really a stranger? Or are we connected in some way? To a web of lies and deceit? Possibly murder?
I'm sorry about our argument the other day. I'd like to make it up to you. In your office. I've been such a bad girl. I need you to correct me.
Okay, I'll unlock the door.
Hello, Ben! How are you?
You see, I hear things, see things. I know everything. To protect myself, I need these stories to be told.
Blood Noir is a crime and horror anthology show. Stories about people caught in desperate times and only have one way out.
In order for the light to shine so brightly, the darkness must be present. Tune in every Monday at 10 o'clock for Dark Sun Rising on the Para-X Radio Network.
Welcome,
welcome back to the gathering. Hi, and here we are in stereo sound.
Yes, oh, we are. Here on the Para-X Network, you have Stephanie and Heidi in stereo. Well, you probably do anyway, but now we're both talking at the same time. So yeah. There it is. We were busy talking over the break, and then we didn't hear our producer, Sarge, tell us when to come back. So here we are.
By the way, it's Sarge's birthday today.
Happy birthday, Sarge.
Yeah, happy birthday to you. Or should we sing the Casey Roundhouse song? Happy, happy birthday to every girl and boy. You know that one?
I do remember that one, yep.
Yeah. Anyway, Sarge is an awesome producer, and we couldn't do without him. So thank you, and happy birthday, Sarge.
Happy birthday, and we won't send you cake or cookies because you
asked us. No, because you're being good, and you're not having any of that stuff.
He's a better man than I am. Happy birthday to Sarge, and thanks for being the best producer ever and dealing with our antics. So
yes.
Now we're back. Here we are. And before we went on commercial break, we were talking to Tommy Cooper of Cryptovania TV and asking some questions. I think we're caught up here in the questionville. But I have another question, I guess, Tommy, because you guys go all over with cryptids, right? You'll do anything cryptid. So where would you, I know you said before Bigfoot is like, that's your deal. That's how you got hooked. That's how this whole thing got started. So what would be the one that you'd go like, I want to see it. I haven't seen it. I don't know if it exists, or what's your holy grail?
Hey, wow. That's an interesting question. It's probably kind of a mundane answer. There's tales and lore of a giant black snake in South Central Pennsylvania. And it's basically like a 40 to 50 foot long black snake that's said to inhabit a lot of the old coal mines and such.
Oh my God.
That would probably be one I would like to see. And for selfish reasons too, because one of my friends there are a lot of people that I'm friends with are terrified of snakes. And one of my friends in particular, who's a logger, had told me, he swears up and down that he said, man, he goes, I hate black snakes. And I said, why is that? He said, well, I had one chase me across a log landing one day. And I was like, dude, black snakes don't chase you. Black snakes are friendly. He said, well, this one wasn't. He's like, and I don't care if you believe me or not, man. He goes, this thing was 25, 30 foot long.
Oh my gosh.
I had never heard of this lost snake. And he had told me that story. And then I discovered the tales of this snake. And I'm like, oh my gosh, I think this is it. If the story is true, which I have no doubts it is, it sounds to me like that was indeed the snake. That would really be one that it'd be nice, because I don't think hardly anybody's looking for it. So there wouldn't be that much competition. If you've got one, you did it. You're the winner.
Wow. So there's one of our listeners in the chat room, because I'm listening to this going, first of all, no. Second of all, because I don't mind snakes because I don't have any interaction with them. So if I did, I probably would mind them. And but one of our listeners in our chat room, I don't even think I'm going to pronounce this correctly. She said, Sushinko. I don't know if I'm even saying that correctly. But I looked up this, and it says it's a snake-like creature from Japanese mythology with a fanged mouth at one end, a tail at the other. Well, I guess that would be obvious. And it's kind of a bulging in the middle. And it's supposed to be some...
What's not to love? All right.
I think it sounds awful.
I would like to.
Yeah.
I agree. I would love to go after that one. You know, we've had stories from the First Nations people up here, especially in North Dakota, talking about the black snakes up there, mythical creatures that are in the rivers up there, in the Missouri River specifically. And they talk about big, long, black. And Alan Yerxa, Heidi, even told us about the story of that one up there in Canada, too. So they're kind of all over. So what exactly are they? It'd be fun to look for that one. But I got to tell you, so at Paracon one year, which is this crazy convention in Minnesota, Tommy, that's a paranormal convention. It's huge. It's up in the middle of nowhere, close to North Dakota. But anyway, I had an elder from one of the Dakota tribes talking to me about this black snake. She was freaking me out. I got to say, and she said, I'm really freaking you out, aren't I? And I'm like, yes, you are. Because it scared the living crap out of me, actually, what she was saying. And I'm like, oh my God. She said, you need to come. And I said, well, yeah, I would love to, really. You know, and I never did get out there, but it sure would be fun to chase these things, you know?
So, yeah, as long as you didn't catch one, it'd be great fun.
Or as long as they don't catch you. How about that?
I was going to say, I'd be worried about the other way around. Nope.
Mm-hmm.
So let me ask you another question, if I may. What is the coolest thing you've seen so far through your channel? You know, things that you've either found and put out there, or people have sent you. What's the coolest thing that you've seen?
By far the coolest thing that I have experienced on the channel, far more cool and interesting than any cryptid, are the interesting people who devote their lives to chasing these cryptids. Those are the most colorful, wonderful, interesting, enigmatic people I've ever met in my life. And we have people like yourselves. We have people from all over the Eastern Seaboard, from out west, from Ireland, from Canada. It's been tremendous. There's where the real color is. I mean, there's where the real interesting stories come from, is all these people, because almost no one's making any money doing it or anything like that. They're doing it mm-hmm. for the love of it. They're doing mm-hmm. it for the quest for the knowledge. Mm-hmm. And these are really some real, real people. And what are you going to gain? There's so much ridicule and all that, all the negativity that comes with it. And yet people do it, and they put it out there, and they put their face on it, and mm-hmm. they just, it's awesome. Those are the kind of people that I'm proud to call friends. And there's so many of them. And there's so many more people out there doing what we all are doing than what mm-hmm. anyone would ever believe. Oh, and there's yeah. so many people with sightings that the humblest, meekest people that come forward and give me their sightings and invite me to their property or become friends with me. I mean, that's really an awesome thing, and mm-hmm. I do not take it lightly. We don't take it lightly. We couldn't be prouder of what we've got going on, and we couldn't be happier to have met the people we've met.
Mm-hmm. Cool. You know,
That is one thing that we always talk about too, Tommy, because when we're out traveling the state, we always meet people who tell us their stories. We have things called Squatch Chats where we go out and we tell people a little bit about what we do, and then we always hear about what they, because that's really what we want to hear is what they've experienced. And we've become friends with a lot of people. And I love to hear the stories, and I love to visit with the First Nations elders, because what's cool about them is they kind of all tell us the same stories about Bigfoot and other creatures, but in different ways. And I love hearing the different variations of the story. But it's the people. You know, we just had Bigfoot Days here in Minnesota that we went to, and oh my gosh, it's an entire day filled with nonstop people at the booth. You know, we set up a table on Main Street, and people are there from the time we're setting up until the time we're leaving, you know, and it's so fun. So I get what you're saying, you know, and it's the love of being out in the field, right? There's no bad day in the woods. There's no bad day in the woods.
It transcends belief systems and politics and all that stuff. You're out there enjoying, admiring, and learning from creation, regardless of who you think created it or what your take or your spin is. You're out there learning from the forest, learning from the land.
Yes.
It's a beautiful thing. And it's so beneficial. You know, so many people want to get down on kids that are walking around with their cell phone in their face all the time. I hear it all the time. Oh, those kids, you know, all they're doing on that phone, that's all that. Well, you know what? Give them a reason to get off the phone. Take them in the woods, dude. Didn't somebody take you in the woods once and get you on this path? Grab one of those kids and say, hey, man, you believe in Bigfoot? Let me show you something. Let me show you a tree structure. Go out there and teach them something and return the favor that someone gave you when you were a lad or a young lady. And that's what I love about it. There's so much good that comes out of it. We even, we call it the Cryptovania lifestyle. We're happy to promote the Cryptovania lifestyle.
Mm-hmm. Cool. Oh, so absolutely. What are you out there? I mean, Bigfoot for sure. I think you're probably always on the search. But what else are you actively looking for? Is there anything on the list?
Snake.
Well, black snake.
I'm kind of a nerd. I do like to go hunt for snakes, but that one in particular, I've never heard too many tales of it being around here. But the Thunderbird, on the other hand, is rumored to be in this area. We're on the edge of its territory, maybe. So that's one that I always have in the back of my mind. There are stories locally of the winged serpents, the winged water serpents. There's a lake called Kinzu. There's a water monster said to be in there. There's a water monster in Lake Erie. And on and on it goes. And there's so many others. But my favorite thing is that gets overlooked is, and it's, I don't know if you call it cryptids or not, but the giants. Giants are all over this area. We have a phenomena here. We have there's a river that runs through called Oil Creek, and the oil, there's so much oil under the ground here that the oil will seep up, and it used to do it more so, but it would seep up on top of the water and it would float on top of the water. There were these pits that were lined with wooden timbers, and they were like collection pools, like for oil. Well, everyone always said, just like with the mounds, they said, oh, that's an Indian mound, or, you know, those Indian oil pits and this and that. Mm-hmm. Well, it turns out the Senecas never, ever claimed that they constructed those pits. They said those pits were here before they were. And, you know, the Allegheny National Forest and the Allegheny River and all this kind of stuff. And Allegheny translates roughly into giant. And and there's all these construction things that happened 100 years ago where giants, their bones were uncovered with the copper swords and the copper helmets and all that sort of thing. And that's something that gets glossed over and almost never talked about. And it's all around us. These oil pits, there's still hundreds, if not thousands of them that I can take you to. And literally they're just a mile from my house. And it's right there in plain sight, just like Bigfoot, just like all these other things. It's hidden in plain sight, but if you don't get out to the woods, if you don't get out there and walk the rivers, you're never going to see it. And they're right there. And what a shame that so many people come and go on this planet and never get to at least contemplate the mystery of all this stuff that's right around us.
Mm-hmm. And think mm-hmm. of how much of the earth is forested. Now, let's hope that it stays, you know, it seems to be disappearing faster than we can keep up with it. But think of how much is still forested and all the areas are on this planet that are forested that just humans don't go and maybe are inaccessible. You know, we just can't mm-hmm. get there. So you just wonder what all and maybe wants to go there because then we're not there and they can be safe and free from being bothered or whatever. Mm-hmm. But yeah, you can only imagine. I was just like the oceans. I mean, how much of it is unexplored yeah. and what could possibly be there that we have no idea. Yeah. Yeah. You know, that
mermaids.
Right. I mean, anything. I mean, it's considered myth or folklore or whatever, and it could be actually extremely real and extremely present. So,
yeah,
it's just fascinating to think about if we could just get out into those areas, but then maybe we're not supposed to. So, because it's supposed to be a mystery.
I think you just need to get out there is my thing.
Yeah.
Yes. You know, Pennsylvania has a very strong hunting culture and trapping culture and fishing culture. There's so much game land in Pennsylvania, and it's only the outside edges, like what you were just talking about, even really hardly ever get visited by humans. And there's literally millions of acres of game land in Pennsylvania, and there aren't people in there. And if they are in there, it's, you know, 2 weeks of deer season and a week of squirrel season and 2 weeks of turkey season. I mean, mm-hmm. almost never in the grand scheme of things. And most people don't go deep into the woods. And mm-hmm. furthermore, I think the Sasquatch don't go deep in the woods unless they're being pushed by hunters or activity. I personally think they're on the edge of society all the time. I think they're just coyotes. I think they're right on the edge of town because that's where the living's easy at.
Yep. I agree. And, you know, the research area that we go to quite often is not far from Minneapolis-St. Paul. So, mm-hmm. And I think there's more areas like that than people want to think about, actually, because they don't want to think about these things being so close. And, you know, I have coyotes in our neighborhood. And, you know, Heidi, I'm not that far out. I mean, you know, second ring suburb. And we have coyotes. We sit outside sometimes and have fires and they just sing away. I'm telling you, it's quite amazing, you know. So,
well, and I'm...
Coyotes. Watch for the mimicry. It's not always coyotes. Watch for the mimicry. It can be the big guy.
I know. Well, and we have heard that. We have heard sound recordings from one of our researcher friends up north who's a native as well. And you can hear the coyotes, and then you can hear Bigfoot. And his theory is that they hunt with Bigfoot, and then they get their mm-hmm. food that way. Yeah, so crazy. Well, it's very interesting.
And you know, Steph, I'm not that far out. I'm farther out than most people, but I'm still technically in the Twin Cities metro area. Yeah. And ever since this UFO case that I took a couple months ago, and I have had Bigfoot sightings in my yard, me personally and other people have now, it's like we've seen, I'm like, you can't be in my yard. I'm like, but come into my yard, please. Like, I want to set some dinner out and Bigfoot, come on over. Let's talk. I mean, I just want to talk to you and find out some interesting information and then have a nice day. You know, no harm, nothing. But I would love for Bigfoot to hang out here. But I'm like, oh my gosh, Bigfoot's in my yard. And I'm not the only person that has seen this being. And I didn't say anything to anybody. And they're giving me the exact description of something I saw. And so I just think, how cool that it's, you don't, like you said, you don't, sometimes don't mm-hmm. have to go very far. And they're right there. It's just, are you mm-hmm. looking? Are you paying attention?
Right. Yeah. Right. We need to come to your place, Heidi, and do an investigation overnight.
Yeah.
Just pitch a tent and see what happens.
It's nuts.
Yeah.
One of the things that I think about, and I learned this from, the survival aspect of things is like for evasion purposes, they said, say if you're in a city and someone's following you and you know it, don't turn around, just keep walking. They said, when you go around the corner, duck down, change your height, because people have such a mental picture locked into their brain of who and what exactly they're looking for, that if you alter that, they won't see you. They'll look right past you. Well, mm-hmm. I like to think the converse is true. I have a friend who's actually 7'3", and I remember the first time I met him, it blew my mind how big this guy was. Well, 7'3" in the Sasquatch world isn't that big of a Bigfoot. So how many people could even have a rough idea of a mental picture of what it is they're looking for when they're in the woods? We have no frame of reference for a 9-foot tall humanoid wearing a ghillie suit. And I think that's how we can be in the woods. That's one of the ways we can gloss right over it and not even see them. And then, you know, they crouch down and do the tree stump, and they do all these things because they're such masters of evasion. And I think this is part of the way that this thing gets by. And who, with the exception of us crazies, who is there that's out there that really is wanting and looking to see something like that? You know, it would be very easy for a person to sell themselves on the idea that, oh, no, that's not what that is, and keep on moving. The average person does not want to know that or believe that.
No. And it's like those, and it's like stick structures too. So, you know, we see them because we're looking for them. And if you show them to people, they say, oh my God, I come by here 1,000 times. I have never noticed that before. That's amazing. You know, because you have to look, you have to be on the lookout, you know, for all of it. And we even look up in the trees, Tommy. I don't know if you guys look up in the trees too, but I'm always thinking, what if he's up in the trees? We don't know that, you know, that he's not.
We are trying to train ourselves to do that because it doesn't come naturally to us. But that is something that we've been trying to do more and more of. Nick and I actually, we had an encounter with something in a tree that was awful big and awful dark and all that sort of thing. And it was funny because we had done this hike into an area. George Workman has a map of Bigfoot sightings in Pennsylvania, and we started hitting a few of the pins that were close to us. And we went in this swamp, and we came out, and it was well after dark when we came out, and it was a game land. And my truck was parked in the parking lot, which is just a gravel parking lot, and I had taken pictures all night long on my phone. And I said to Nick, I said, hey, I'm going to take a picture because they'll have a number that shows you what game land it is. That way, when I roll through my pictures, I know where these are from. So I go over there and I turn my flash on. When I took a picture of that, my flash went off. It sounded an awful lot like about a 400, 500, 600 pound something or other.
Came out of the tree
that was right over, basically almost right over top of where my truck was parked. I think that they watched us walk in. They watched us walk out. The flash startled the individual. And it came down out of the tree, and when it hit the ground, we never heard a thing run. There was nothing. It probably went away completely silently. I don't know, but we pulled the lights out, and we went in, and we found nothing. But we sure heard it come out of the tree. We saw the branches move.
That's nuts. Yeah.
And there again, the genius, if you were to observe us going in and out of there, you want to be up high, like in a tree. Where's the place where we're absolutely going to let our guard down? Right at the vehicle, we come out of the woods because you're taking your gear off. And let's get it. Absolute genius. This is why I have so much respect for these things. The simplest things they just use to confound the smartest of us. They're so hard to find. On the one hand, so easy. It's so easy to have something happen, but as far as a physical encounter goes, it's so hard to have that Class A visual encounter.
So what are you going to do if you actually come face to face with a Sasquatch? What would you do?
Look it in the eyes and hope it didn't kill me.
Good idea.
My biggest question is that what I want to know is fundamental. Is it an animal? Is it a person? Is it half animal and half person? Is it not a person or an animal? But I just feel like this question can't be answered without me looking into one's eyes, because I do believe the eyes are the well of the soul. And I think that is where you could figure out, at least in my mind. I don't care if I'm right or wrong or what anybody else thinks. I want to make my own decision on what this thing is, because it doesn't fit anywhere.
Yeah, it's true. Well, I think he's an interdimensional creature myself, but, yeah, wouldn't it be fun? I want to look him in the eye, too. That's my goal, you know, and I don't care if I ever get a picture of him, as long as I can say I saw him, you know.
Yeah.
Heidi, what do you want to do when you see him? High five.
High five.
Yep. Kimmy on our team wants to try to get a selfie.
can get his autograph.
Oh, you know, so, I mean, we all have our own little ideas of what we're going to do if we ever actually run into one, you know what I mean? But, yeah, it's fun. Lifetime search, I'm sure, you know? And once you get into it, and the thing is, if you ever do see him, then you're going to be out there all the time because you're always going to want to see him again, right? That's the thing.
Yeah.
What do you think about the theory that you should go out there with no equipment, no cameras, no cell phones, no voice recorders, nothing, and they might come to you more?
I think there's merit to it, but again, I don't think I'm ever going to find out firsthand because I don't think I'm ever going to do it. But can they tell when there are electronic devices? Absolutely. There's not. We have a remote voice recorder and a camouflage tube. It's called the T5K. Our friends from Dirty South Squatching gave it to us, Bob Trent, Dwight Campbell. It's a voice recorder, and it's a directional cannon. It's been descented. It's camouflage. It's anything you could do to it's been done to it to make it stealth. Nick and I take it out, and we put it in the woods. We start the recorder, and you can hear a screw in the end on it, and then we'll say, you know, we're at, you know, such and such ridge, and it's, you know, August 3rd or whatever, and then we turn around and walk out. Usually within, I can't say usually, but oftentimes, within 10 minutes of us leaving, bipedal footsteps come up in the pitch black and come right to it, and then we'll hear tapping or screwing around on the side of the device. They absolutely know it's there. You can't hide it good enough. They always know it's there every time. And I think it's the same way with trail cameras and
yeah,
whatever you've got, cell phones, anything. Somehow they know those electronics are there.
Oh, yes, they do. And, you know, we were at, Heidi, remember when we were at CryptidCon last year and the Kentucky Bigfoot bunch, I can't remember what their individual names were, but they had pictures of, because they put up trail cams, and they you'd see a hand kind of reach in for something, but you'd never see any other part of the body.
Yep.
And it was not a human hand, for sure, you know?
No.
So,
I have one of those also.
Mm-hmm.
I love those. They're so creepy. It's great.
It is cool.
How do they know? Yeah. I had an individual tell me less than a week ago that he's in this big piece of land and he has his game cameras. He's telling me how well they're hidden and all this sort of thing. Well, he just leaves them out there. He pulls the cards, pulls the batteries, and then he comes back the next year and fires them up and gets them running again. Well, he went back to the one that was the most well-hidden one he had. And he said there was a straight stick that was just the perfect size, and it was rammed straight through the lens of the camera, like an arrow.
See?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, that'll show you.
Oh, yeah, for sure. For sure. Well, and, you know, you talked about Greg Yost, who is really Squatchman, as he goes by the name Squatchman. We've met him a time or two down there in Kentucky, too, and he will not go out with cameras at all. It's just him.
We absolutely love the Squatch Man.
He's kind of a crazy guy. Have you ever met him in person?
He was here. He was in Cryptovania for almost a week. It was one of the best weeks of my life. He's one of the best dudes I ever met in my life. We had such a good time. It was great. Let me tell you about this. When Squatch Man was here, he was staying in our town in a hotel, and there was snow on the ground. And I went to pick him up the first day of shooting. And I said, how's your night, Greg? How'd everything, you know, everything cool? Everything up to expectations? He says, well, they know I'm here. And I said, and I had only known this guy for less than a day. And I said, who's here, Greg? Fan club? CIA? FBI? Men in Black? He said, come on out back and I'll show you. And I'm not kidding. I couldn't make it up. We go out back and there's three sets of big footprints that come across the yard of this hotel and go straight to his window.
Awesome.
Couldn't make it up. So I took a picture of him with my cell phone to prove it. None of the pictures took. None of them saved.
Oh, dang. Because that's how it is.
Of course not.
My gosh.
The whole week was like that.
Sarge has the music on, so I guess we have to go.
We have to go quick. We're running out of time. I can't believe that.
Thanks, Tommy, for coming on. We'll have to do this again. Maybe we can get some of the other guys in your Cryptovania on too.
Yeah,
that would be really fun.
That'd be great.
Yeah,
absolutely. Thanks so much for having me. It's always great.
Thanks for having Squatchers on Cryptovania TV, because we love it. We love it. It's so fun. Yeah, so, fun. Yeah.
We couldn't do it without you guys.
Oh, gosh. Well, so next week, Heidi, who's on our show next week?
We have Echo Bodine on our show, who is a local and international psychic and ghostbuster. So we're going to talk with her next week on our show.